Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The Epistle to the Galatians is the epistle I love the most, which I have taken as my wife. It is my Katie von Bora. Those were Martin Luther's words about Paul's letter to the Galatians. It was his beloved epistle, and he wrote some of his best commentaries on it. Read the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, Galatians and the Reformation, to learn more. Witness.lcms.org to learn about it and how to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective. Witness.lcms.org.
This is something the Christians need to really be aware of, the many, many propaganda techniques that are utilized against us. And deflection is one of the most important.
Everywhere I went talking to people, every one of them said that if people in the West are not willing to die for their faith, then they're not going to withstand what's coming.
Saying the truth about your sin and yourself, that you're not righteous, that you're not good, that you are a sinner, that you are in need of God's mercy and grace, that's a biblical way of being authentic before God.
To say, "Thus says the Lord," is actually an act of humility, because it gives the glory and the deference to Him, to His word.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
Here is the passage from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What does that passage actually teach? Is Paul a good American, teaching that everyone is equal, that we're all equal under the law and even before Jesus Christ, that we're maybe, as some assert, interchangeable with one another, we're all the same, or we're all just one big same thing? Or is he teaching something else, something far better than that? And how has this passage become kind of the key that some use to undo everything else that Paul teaches about men and women? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. Andrew Doss, author of the Concordia Commentary on Galatians, about men, women, and Galatians 3:28, that very verse. Pastor David Peterson joins us after that for the beginning of a series on prayer. We're going to get a definition of prayer. He says it's been too fuzzily defined, and it leads to a lot of mischief and, in a lot of ways, a lot of not praying. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, talking about Jacob's family in Genesis chapter 29. Joining us to discuss men, women, and Galatians 3:28, Dr. Andrew Doss. He's professor of religious studies and assistant dean at Elmhurst University. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Galatians and a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Male and Female. Dr. Doss, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
This verse, Galatians 3:28, how has it become a key to interpreting everything the apostle says about men and women among some?
Well, when we interpret the biblical text, we really have to be aware of our cultural lenses. It's so easy to read our modern worldview into the ancient text. People talk about how we look down at the well of the scriptures, and often they say we find our own image staring back at us, and I think that's the case here. So we have to subordinate ourselves to scripture, to let it speak to us in its own voice across the ages. So what we do is we interpret what the text meant for its first readers in their context, and then translate that message into what it means for today. And there are times when the biblical worldview is at odds with our modern way of thinking, and there are other times when the Bible seems to affirm us in our views. Galatians 3:28 is one of those passages we can relate to that seems to affirm our way of thinking. Paul says in this verse that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male and female. It's easy to read that and then view Paul as some sort of modern egalitarian. But the same Paul in other passages can say that women are to be silent in the churches in 1 Corinthians 14, 34-35, or that women are not to teach men in 1 Timothy 2:11-12. But here in Galatians 3:28, we have this powerful statement that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male and female. And it's easy to read all that Paul writes through this one verse. maybe this verse is saying what we want Paul to say, and so it becomes an interpretive key for us to his letters. And so the real question becomes whether Galatians 3:28 can bear the weight that we as moderns have placed on it. Paul doesn't say that men and women are equal. That's a modern notion. Maybe I think the image staring back at us. And even when we claim it, we have to ask equal in what respect? Surely we're not saying that men and women are identical. So is Paul flattening out the differences between male and female? Again, he does not say we're all equal in Christ. He says we're all one in Christ. And so oneness is that key category. So we have to ask ourselves, how does that express itself in our lives?
I heard when you were quoting the verse, something sounded a little different. And you say that some translations don't capture the break in the pattern of Paul's writings in Galatians there. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's right. He says in Galatians 3:28 that there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, and then neither male and female. You have a good ear there. So a good translation would bring that out. Now, male and female is not the normal way of identifying men and women in the Bible. The Greek words here focus on the biological distinction between men and women. So we have to ask ourselves, is Paul saying here that the biological differences between men and women are no more, that they've been abolished? And I think the Greek translation of Genesis offers us a helpful clue here. In Genesis 1:28, and this is, by the way, from before the fall, God created humanity as male and female. And so when Jesus was affirming God's gift of marriage in the Gospels in Mark 10 and Matthew 19, he went back to this verse in Genesis to explain why a man leaves his father and mother and joins with his wife. So is Paul saying something different in Galatians 3:28, that male and female are now done away with, that Genesis 1:27 and God's creation are no longer in effect? How far do we go with these words here? Are our created differences as men and women somehow overturned or erased? So this distinction, the pattern here, is really kind of interesting.
So how does even the male and female of the original creation account and yield to the new creation?
Yeah, when Paul writes that Jew, Greek, slave, free, male and female are now no more with respect to our being in Christ, again, how far do we go with that? And really, that's the crucial question here. And just like with other topics in Paul, we have to keep in mind that Paul always likes to talk about what we enjoy now as Christians and then what's still to come. So scholars like to call this the now and the not yet in Paul, that Paul's what we call an apocalyptic thinker. It's a big word, but he sees an entire new world dawning with the coming of Christ. And that's why Galatians begins with our rescue from the present evil age in Galatians 1:4. The letter closes talking about the new creation in Galatians 6:15. And these statements about one world giving way to a new world, a new creation, bookend Paul's letter. Now, Paul talks throughout Galatians 5 and 6 about this new creation, this new reality that's come in Christ and His Spirit. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Yet he still warns against the works of the flesh. While we share in this new creation, already now, thanks to Christ's Spirit, we're still struggling against sin. Paul can say in Galatians 3:25 that we're already living by the Spirit, and yet encourage us in the very next breath to keep in step with that Spirit. So who we are in Christ, what we already have in Christ, must express itself consistently in our lives. So a new reality is dawning here, but it has not fully dawned until the resurrection. So we always have to ask, where is Paul placing his emphasis, on the now or the not yet? We keep going back to that.
How is 1 Corinthians 7 related to Galatians 3?
Well, that's an interesting passage you're referring to there. If we look at it, in the middle of 1 Corinthians 7, if you look at verses 17 to 24, middle of the chapter, Paul's talking about, interestingly, circumcision and uncircumcision. And he says there that circumcision does not matter, and uncircumcision does not matter. It reminds us a lot of Galatians 6:15, where he said that circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. So isn't this exactly what Paul was talking about in Galatians 3:28 when he said there that there's neither Jew nor Greek? 1 Corinthians 7 goes on. It then talks about people who are slaves as opposed to those who are free. And again, we're reminded back in Galatians 3:28 of how there's neither slave nor free. And then last of all, you won't be surprised, 1 Corinthians 7 is talking about the bulk of it, about husbands and wives or those who are betrothed to be married. So here we have male and female. So it looks like Paul's taking up the very same three pairs that we saw in Galatians 3:28, but here he's unpacking them throughout a whole chapter in a different context. And we can see that Paul's not advocating for the abolition of differences between men and women. He's talking about men and women or male and female in relation to marriage. In other words, we see that Paul's proving, and this is important, Paul's proving to be socially conservative in how he's interpreting that new creation. Far from abolishing marriage, he affirms it. He tells slaves, if you're offered your freedom, enjoy it, but otherwise stay where you are if you're called as a slave. If you're called as a circumcised person, that's fine. If you're called to Christ as an uncircumcised person, don't go out and get circumcised, stay where you are. In the end, Paul's saying these social relationships are just irrelevant to what God's doing in Christ. So 1 Corinthians 7 is a helpful commentary on Galatians 3:28 and how Paul would take all this in a little different context.
You mentioned this earlier, but let's go into a little more detail about how we Americans especially tend to misunderstand Paul's words there in Galatians 3 in our own modern egalitarian terms, or sometimes we hear him when he says they are all one, saying, well, they're all one thing. They're no longer distinct things.
Yeah, it's really a modern way of thinking we have here. It's this Jeffersonian ideal that we're all equal. And we just have to ask what this does or does not mean and make sure we're not reading our own cultural presuppositions in the ancient text. It's so easy to hear that word equal there and miss that key word oneness. And that's why we have to subordinate ourselves to the biblical text and interpret Paul on his own terms rather than our own, and be a little aware of our cultural placement, where we are in this modern era. It's a very different age now than it has been for most of human history. And so we bring these presuppositions with us into the biblical text. We have to be aware of that and then try to understand Paul in his terms.
Why is it important to note that Paul is here using the present tense in Galatians 3?
That's right. This is that new reality in Christ coming through. A lot of people miss this too, that in Galatians 3:28, this is all in the present tense. You are all one in Christ, and there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male and female. And the point is that you don't have to wait 2,000 years for the women's movement to see Paul's words realized. This is a present reality, whether we're in Paul's day or in our own. You don't have to strive for it. You know, we don't have to revolutionize our society for it. It's just a gift, and it's all ours. It comes to us in baptism. That baptized believers, Paul's been talking about here in Galatians 3:26, 27, and onward, that baptized believers are now one with them, and that's who we are now. And it's interesting, Paul employs here the masculine form of one. It's not neuter. So it's like one person. Baptized believers are incorporated into a oneness with the very person of Jesus Christ himself. So I love this verse back in Galatians 2:20, and it's another major verse in the letter. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so Paul's affirming that we're just a different people by virtue of our identity in Christ, by our being in Christ, by our being one in Christ. And so this is a category that Paul brings in his letter. Are being one with, and it's a corporate reality too. We're not one with Christ as individuals, but we're one with Christ together, whether Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female.
Is this new reality limited to salvation through Jesus?
Well, it is true. Many would limit Galatians 3:28 to saying something about our salvation or our justification in Christ. Paul is very upset here over Jewish Christian teachers who have made Moses' law somehow a requirement for salvation here at Galatia. So Paul is fighting for the sufficiency of Jesus' saving work on the cross for our salvation, his letter. But he's also talking about how we're to live. It's not just our salvation. So do we live according to Moses' law? Does Moses' law give us a structure for our lives? Does Moses' law give us the power to live differently? And Paul's saying no. Our salvation in Christ already brings us the power of the Holy Spirit for our lives. And even here in Galatians 3:28, Paul's paving the way to explain that later in the letter. And in fact, he ends Galatians 3 talking about how we began in the Spirit. And he talks about how there's neither Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female. And notice how there are these pairs of opposites. And so later in Galatians 5:6, Paul's going to remind us of Galatians 3:28 when he introduces yet another pair of opposites, circumcision and uncircumcision. And he comes back to that again in Galatians 6:15, circumcision and uncircumcision. And each time he's contrasting these pairs of opposites with this new reality. So in Galatians 3:28, we're now one person in Christ. In Galatians 5:6, faith is active and working through love. In Galatians 6:15, we have that dawning of the new creation. And I think what's really interesting is that Galatians 5:6 and 6:15 sandwich this entire section of the letter from 5:16 to 6:10, where Paul is talking about how we live under the power and direction of Christ's Spirit, how this makes a real difference in our lives. So, yes, you know, we're justified and saved on the basis of our faith in Christ, but there are also clear social implications in Galatians 3:28.
Dr. Andrew Doss is our guest. We're talking about men, women, and Galatians 3:28. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. When we come back, what is the new reality that Paul is describing there in that book? This week's auction items are the listener and guest phone system from the Old Issues Etc. studio. You'll find a picture of these items at facebook.com/issuesetc. You can place your bid by calling 618-223-8385 or by sending an email to lynn@issuesetc.org. We'll announce the highest bid on Wednesday, October 14th, and the winner on Friday, October 16th. Proceeds benefit the new studios of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and the Word of the Lord endures forever.
Sent to serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1,900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
Expert guests. Expansive topics. Extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings and God's blessings from Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool in Marinette, Wisconsin. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you would be edified by God's Word as we gather together to receive His gifts in the historic liturgy of the Church. Join us Sundays for divine service at 9 a.m. at the corner of County Road T and Irving Street, just a block south of the roundabout here in Marinette. You can contact us at 715-735-6506 on Facebook or at our website, www.faithmarinette.org.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, writes St. Paul in his opening salvo to the Galatians. There is indeed no other gospel than that which we taught to you. And that's what the October issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about, the gospel proclaimed to you through the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about men, women, and Galatians 3:28. Our guest is Dr. Andrew Doss, author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Male and Female. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. Learn more at cph.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Available in print and online. The Lutheran Witness magazine. Dr. Doss, so what is the new reality that Paul is describing in the book of Galatians?
Yeah, what is this new social reality, these social implications? I mentioned earlier that Paul contrasts this other pair of opposites, circumcision, uncircumcision, and he stresses how this new creation is dawned with faith working with love. So we have to ask ourselves then, how does this all work itself out in practice, you know, when the rubber meets the road? Well, again, sandwiched in between is this whole section from Galatians 5:16 to 6:10. I mentioned a second ago. And it's this invasion of our world by Christ's Spirit. And this is not a mere human social agenda. We're not talking about some sort of Band-Aid here for a fallen world that needs something far greater. What Paul's envisioning here is people, Christ's own, filled by the Spirit, who express the Spirit's own fruit in Christ-like behavior, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, and far more. He's not envisioning some sort of revolution of people from without that we could somehow work on ourselves. He's imagining something far more powerful, this transformation of a fallen people from within. And that transformation will lead any given societal relationship into a new Christ-like direction. I said earlier that Paul's socially conservative. You know that the master-slave relationship in 1 Corinthians 7, it may not be abolished, but the way the master and the slave relate to each other is going to get transformed by that presence of Christ and the Spirit's fruit in action. And similarly, the roles of men and women in marriage are not abolished, but the relationship of the husband and the wife are characterized by the presence of Christ and the Spirit's selfless fruit in action. And that Christ-like behavior, it's far more revolutionary than anyone in this present age can even imagine. For Paul, male and female are one person in Christ. They're not losing their individual identities, they're not losing their roles, but they're both sharing in that identity and personhood of Christ. As individuals, we believers are bearing Christ to the world, and it's also a corporate identity. Regardless of ethnicity, gender, social class, or social roles, we're all one person in Jesus Christ. We find our identity there, before male and female, before Jew and Greek, before slave and free. And together we're bearing Christ to the world. And so in the end, Christians, those who are in Christ, are simply a different sort of people.
You had spoken about this just a moment ago, that Paul returns to the Jew-Gentile binary later in Galatians. What does he have to say?
Yeah, I mentioned that Paul is socially conservative, and we see it here too. Paul does offer clues within the letter and elsewhere in his writings for the social implications of Galatians 3:28. It's always good to interpret it within the context of his letters. And we recognize that Paul does not view the differences between Jew and Greek as entirely done away with. While both Jew and Greek enjoy the same salvation in Christ on the basis of faith, Paul is not envisioning the Jews giving up their ancestral rights. So he asks in Romans 3:1 if there's any advantage in being a Jew and in circumcision. We might ask that question even after reading Galatians. And he answers in the very next verse of Romans, much in every way. And then later on in Romans 11, he develops this image of Israel's own olive tree, and the Gentiles are being grafted onto it, but the tree remains Israel's. So even in Galatians, notice that Gentiles are becoming members not just of any city, but later on at the end of Galatians chapter 4, they're made members of a Jerusalem above. And so in Galatians 2, Peter takes the saving message of Christ to the circumcised, and Paul will take it to the uncircumcised. Paul's not erasing the difference between Jews and Greek. And we can say the same thing about slavery. I know we tend to look at slavery from the point of view of an era now where it largely no longer exists. And certainly God did not institute slavery in his creation. But Paul's not trying to abolish institutions from a mere external social standpoint. You know, he writes to Philemon about his slave Onesimus, and the presence of their shared faith in Christ has radically changed the way these two men relate to each other. One may be a master and the other is a slave, but they're now also brothers to each other in Christ. And that identity is the primary one. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul tells slaves, enjoy your freedom if it's offered to you, but in the meanwhile, stay where you are. The relationship between slave and master is not abolished, but it is being transformed by this selfless love of Jesus Christ. In fact, in the letter to the Galatians are to use their freedom in Christ through love to become slaves to one another, as we put other people before ourselves, as Christ loved us on the cross. So Paul's not viewing Jew and Greek, slave and free, as abolished. What he's viewing here is that all these social relationships, whatever they are, they're radically transformed by this presence of the love of Christ and his Spirit.
Finally, why is it important to note that while in Galatians for Paul the works of the flesh are plural, the fruit of the Spirit is singular?
Yeah, there's a contrast here between the one fruit of the Spirit and the plural works of the flesh. See, this is that theme of our oneness in Christ coming through yet again. You know, the Galatians thought that the power to live in a way that pleases God comes through Moses' law, and Paul's saying that the law of Moses provides no power for our lives. In fact, it divides us, far from making us one. And so if you go back to Galatians 3:28, the Jews and their first century morning prayer, and then again later in the 5th century Talmud, the Jewish man would begin his day with a prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, who's not made me a heathen or a Gentile, a non-Jew. Blessed are you, you did not make me a slave. Blessed are you that you've not made me a woman. Again, those same three pairs that we saw in Galatians 3:28. And we see it also among the ancient Greek philosophers. Socrates reportedly said something similar. But for the Jews, the point would revolve around Moses' law. The free Jewish male could observe the law fully in a way that a woman, a slave, or a non-Jew could not. So Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, will talk about how men are superior to women with regards to the law. And if you think about the distinction between Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, and female are all related in some way to the practice of circumcision in the law in Genesis 17. Circumcision is going to reinforce that boundary between Jew, Greek, men and women, and those who observe God's law fully from those who are not able to. But Paul's announcing here that this era of the law's divisions is over. That age is over. Baptism into Christ is providing for this unity, this oneness that can't be realized in a circumcised community or a community under Moses' law. So in the final clause in Galatians 3:28, Paul's explaining what respect these relationships are relativized. You're all one in Christ. So then when you get to Galatians 5 and 6, that shows us how the Spirit is creating this new community that's one in Christ. So we're one in Christ together. A community characterized by this one fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We are in Christ together, and we've become a different sort of people. We already are this. It's a single fruit that's already expressed in our lives, and yet which we're striving to live consistently by. We have this wonderful new identity that we have in Christ, and this is what Paul's getting at throughout his letter to the Galatians and in Galatians 3:28. So it's really helpful always to understand, you know, these statements by Paul that can be interpreted so easily in a modern way, to interpret in the context of Paul's own letter to the Galatians or in the context of Paul's other letters. And that way, we're letting Paul speak to us across the ages in his own voice and not in a voice of our own making. And so we take it as far as Paul takes it and no further.
Dr. Andrew Das is professor of religious studies and assistant dean at Elmhurst University. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Galatians and a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Male and Female. You can purchase the Concordia Commentary on Galatians by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Das, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We will begin a series on prayer with Pastor David Peterson, Departmental Editor of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, right after the break. What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Catalina Lutheran, Tucson, Arizona; Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota; Holy Shepherd Lutheran, Haslett, Texas; Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Emmett, Idaho; Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama; St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois; St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; and Zion Lutheran, Gwinner, North Dakota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.